Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You know, with the getting over and around and past this fiscal cliff, one of the topics that a lot of people, of course, have been thinking about and wondering about as it relates to that is real estate. So we've invited a real estate consultant, Paul J. DaCosta, to come on the program, and Paul's on the line with us. Welcome, Paul, to the program.
Hey, welcome, and thanks for having me on.
Thank you. For our listeners, you're a real estate consultant. You work in Sarasota, Florida, across the state from us. And you're with, the firm you're with?
Well, I'm I'm also a licensed realtor as well.
Okay,
great. I'm with Keller Williams, but I also do real estate consulting, and my company's Paul J. DaCosta & Associates.
Outstanding. And the website was real easy for our listeners, pauljdacosta.com, just like it sounds. And we're going to be talking about a variety of things. We appreciate your insight because, you know, of course, with all the fuss and bother up in Washington, D.C. over the cliff, one of the things that I know that you want to talk about, which was hanging in the balance, was the debt relief.
Yes, sir. That was a real big issue that kind of got pushed off to the side because everybody was concerned with taxes. But the Debt Relief Act basically lets homeowners of primary residence who do a short sale, allows them to basically make the short sale difference go away as far as a tax implication. Because what happens, let's say somebody short sales their home and it's $100,000, the bank gives you a 1099. The IRS looks at that 1099 as $100,000 in income.
Wow.
So that Debt Relief Act makes that go away. So that makes it a big difference. It puts short sales back in play, which is in the best interest of the country as a whole in the long run.
It's better for everybody, right? I mean, this inventory cleared out. And so you're with this debt relief then being reaffirmed, this Debt Relief Act, that means that homeowners can, if they're going to do a short sale, that makes them able to solve that situation they may be in without having to face that 1099 later for what could be hundreds of thousands of dollars. So your view then, from your vantage point, is that we're going to see now a renewed interest in short sales?
Yes, I think we're going to see that. And we're also going to see it from the bank side. Because up until like September, mid-October, they were approving short sales one right after another. And then all of a sudden, right around the middle of October, they started to slow down. And then it got real, real slow. The closer we got to the cliff, the more the short sales seem to slow down. So I'm expecting those banks to gear them back up again because it's really in their best interest as well.
Paul, tell us a little bit about this shadow inventory we hear about. And some people say, what are you talking about? You got a bunch of shadows in a closet? What do you mean? Shadow inventory being this portfolio of homes that the banks have. Explain what that shadow inventory is all about to our listeners.
Sure. The biggest thing to understand is the bank has a lot of properties that have been sitting empty, either that they have foreclosed on or they've at least filed on and have done nothing with. So they're just sitting there empty that eventually they're going to have to do something with. But right now, they're not for sale. A general person can't come in and say, hey, I want to buy that house because the bank hasn't officially foreclosed on it yet or they're still working on it. So what that does is that just has a house sitting in a neighborhood, basically empty. In my neighborhood, we've got two. They've been empty for 3 years for one and almost 4 years for another. They're just sitting there. The banks haven't foreclosed on them, done nothing. So that really puts a crimp on the market because basically, if you're looking to buy the house next door, this house has been empty. If it's got broken windows, the grass is high, that lowers the property value. And it also gives people the perception that there's a lot of homes on the market that's really not. So that kind of hurts prices as well. So the shadow inventory is there. They just haven't done anything with it. And especially here in Florida where we are, we've got lots of houses that are just sitting, but not a lot of inventory on the MLS.
Isn't that interesting? So the short sales coming back into play might encourage banks to say, okay, you know what? We need to go ahead and clear all these out. And because they're not getting paid, you know, they're not getting paid on those mortgages. So if they could at least get out of them with at least some or a good chunk of what they're owed, then that's like you said, that's good for the banks, that's good for hopefully the sellers and buyers as well, and good for the country as a whole.
Yes, sir. That would be absolutely in their best interest. And not only that, if they've hired a law firm and you're in a judicial state like the state of Florida, you've got now this thing on the bank has another home in an attorney firm that's getting paid. So the bank's paying the lawyers to do something with that house, regardless. They're actually writing checks to pay their law firms when they got a house sitting there doing nothing, when they would sell. That's the thing. They would sell if they would just either foreclose on them or let the present owner short sale it and do it in a reasonable amount of time.
Gotcha. Paul DaCosta is on the line with us, ladies and gentlemen. He's a real estate consultant, also a realtor. And we're talking about success in the housing market and looking at things going forward. We're going to ask Paul to hold on for just a second. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back. So stay right there.
Okay, I will.
What's your dream? Play golf every day of the week? Turn that hobby into a new career? With careful planning, you can make it happen. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your no-obligation consultation. At Holland Financial, we want to help you take the first step towards making your dreams a reality. That number again is 888-747-7526.
And we're back. Paul DaCosta's on the line with us, pauljdacosta.com, real estate consultant and realtor. And Paul, before I go to another topic, I wanted to ask you this because this is just out of pure curiosity, but also have an interest in this because there's a property not far from my home that is vacant, and there's some of these little signs that are or things up on the door. One says that this home has been found vacant and the mortgage holder has been notified. And there's another little note up there that the homeowner put that said it's not vacant, it's under a major renovation, but I never see them, they're never there. What's going on with something like that? Do you know what that's about?
Well, most communities you can get online and find out what kind of court actions are being done. We see that a lot too. The mortgage holder sends out someone to check the house and say, yeah, nothing's happening to it. It's been empty now for 4 or 5 months. And they usually put a phone number there. A lot of times you can grab that phone number and call them, and you might get a response. It depends on where it's going to. It just might be a company that's handling, as I like to call, babysitting for the bank. But if you go to your county courthouse's website, you can find out if there's any court actions going on there, or you can just contact your local realtor that you do business with and ask them to see what's happening with that house and see if maybe it's in the process of being foreclosed on, or you can locate the seller and see if the seller will be willing to do a short sale,
yeah,
and then you can start that process.
There you go. Well, that's interesting. I just wanted to ask you that because I know I'm not the only one that's seen a property like that in their neighborhood. Now, let's move on to another very relevant, interesting topic, and that is how mortgage rates, where they are and where they're expected to go, how that will affect housing. What is your view on mortgage rates, where they are now, and where you think they're going to be going over the next couple of years?
Well, right now, they're as low as I think possibly the Fed's going to push them. I can't imagine them pushing them any lower. I think eventually, from what I'm hearing, not really going to be a whole lot the first 6 months of this year. Maybe the back half of the year you might see a little increase. But I would say over the next year or two, we are going to have some. We can't be at this low rate forever.
So for somebody out there, thinking about getting a home, I think most people would agree housing has started to improve overall. So the rates are where they are. Now, as good a time as any, or I guess as good a time as there's going to be to maybe look at getting into a home?
Absolutely. There is no question about it. If you can qualify for a loan and you have the financial wherewithal, do it now, because if the home goes up, $4,000 or $5,000, $6,000, it's not a big deal. And if the market drops and it goes down $4,000 or $5,000, over the scheme of a 30-year note, we're not talking lots of money, okay? But it's good right now. The rates are the best that they've ever been. From the best of my knowledge, the rates are fantastic. If you qualify and you can get that home that you've wanted, you should go after it. Get a hold of your mortgage person. But the key is you want to get pre-approved, and that means all your paperwork turned in, everything turned in. The only thing they need is the house you want to buy and if it's going to appraise. That's the best way to bring your deal to a seller.
Excellent. Now, what's your take? Is there anything that Congress is doing? Are they in any way involved really with mortgage rates or what may be happening or setting any limits or anything there?
No, not really. Other than FHA, setting how much of a mortgage FHA will guarantee. Not really right now. They're just basically the Fed sets the rates and they give their 2 cents worth, and when the Fed comes and talks, they tell them what. But I mean, rates are just perfect right now. You're talking, you can get yourself a great loan 30 years fixed, and a house that somebody might have paid $600,000 for, you can buy today in some markets, especially here in Florida, you know, for half that price, and in some cases a little less if it needs some fixing up.
It's pretty remarkable. And the rates, what are the rates you're seeing for a qualified buyer, somebody with some decent credit for a 30-year fix, or where are those rates now?
I just had a gentleman and his wife close the other day, and they paid 3.15.
Wow.
On a 30-year. They had great, excellent credit. They put down 20%, and it just, they're moving here from another state, so they haven't been that long in their jobs, and they got, and that was through a national bank, so it wasn't like it was some special thing. You know, national bank, Bank of America, got the loan put through there. Ready to go. Happy with it. And they got a beautiful home.
That's outstanding. And so if it's 3.1 for a 30-year, okay, have you seen a 15-year here lately?
I haven't looked, to be truthful with you, because most of the people I'm dealing with, they're either paying cash or they're getting 30-year notes.
Yeah, well, at 3%, why wouldn't you lock in for 30 years, right?
Correct. Absolutely. Take it in. If worst comes to worst, just pay extra and drop it down if you have to, if you want to.
That's remarkable. We've got Paul DeCosta on the line with us, ladies and gentlemen. He's a real estate consultant. A few other things about Paul before we go to the break. Member of the Southwest Florida Real Estate Investment Association. That's a mouthful. And the Florida Association of Mortgage Brokers. You started back in real estate in 95 and the real estate mortgage business in 99. You do a lot of work with banks and lenders in this loss mitigation departments. Basically, that's the short selling and all of that and foreclosures.
Yes, sir.
And then, and the other thing you probably have already picked up on, ladies and gentlemen, is Paul also hosts his own radio workshop on WENG 1150 AM. Now, where is that located?
It's located here in Charlotte County, Sarasota County, right here. It's a little local radio station. We do a lot of work with them, so it works out real well.
That's good. I wanted to clarify that because we have an 1150 over in our area as well. We'll come back from the break. I want to hear a little bit about some of the, I think everybody's familiar with the role of a realtor. I'm curious to hear about the role you take in doing some of the consulting that you do. So let's take this quick break, Paul, and we'll come right back.
Okay, great.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
We're back with Paul DeCosta. His website is pauljdecosta.com. I went to your website, Paul, and you've got some interesting stuff on there. You've got a couple of special reports we could mention to our listeners. You've got one on how to earn two to three times the returns offered by current bank CDs, and then also one about how to become a private lender using your IRA money. You want to talk a little bit about those?
Yeah, sure. A lot of people have money in an IRA that they're not really sure what to do with, but they really don't want to get into real estate and be what I always say, deal with tenants, toilets, and trash. But they wouldn't mind being the bank. So there is a lot of self-directed IRA companies that are out there, and you can put your money in there, and then you can become the bank for someone who's interested in buying a house, but they might not qualify for a bank loan for whatever reason. They might have lost a job a year ago. But now you can become a bank. You'd be in the first mortgage position, just like any other bank, and you could be getting 7, 8, 9, 10% on your money, because there are some investors that I work with, that's exactly what they do. They have their self-directed IRAs. They lend money to people who are either looking to buy the home and fix it up and then sell it, and they're in the first loan position getting 10% on their money.
So that's something for people to consider, and they can go to the website, pauljdecosta.com, and there's a couple of special reports they can click on and get more information. Tell me a little bit, or I think for our listeners, you know, as we introduced you, you're not only a realtor, but you're a real estate consultant. Talk a little bit about some of the consulting that you do. What does that involve?
Yeah, basically, I do two things. I do some work for attorneys who have clients who've got properties, or they've foreclosed on the properties, and now they're sitting here going, what do I do with this thing?
Gotcha.
So I kind of give them general basic knowledge of, here's some opportunities you can do with it. Here's what we think it's worth. Here's what the repairs are going to cost, and give them a report and say, here you go. And I just get paid a flat, per dollar an hour fee. And then I have other investors who say, hey, let's all get together and let's buy this two, three, four, five houses or this apartment complex. And so we put together an LLC, we all invest our money in, and then I handle it from there. I take it to the purchase, to the complete rehab, to getting tenants back in it, keeping it, and then selling it again.
So you're a real estate baron. I mean, you're you're in there, and you facilitate transactions from a couple of different angles. That's very interesting.
Sure. And I'm doing it every day. So yeah. And I've lost money on houses. I'm no different than any other person. You know, yeah. I bought a house that I swore was going to be the greatest deal since sliced bread, and something happened, and you know, you just lose money. It happens.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's a great point that you've made, Paul, because, you know, we certainly, in what I do as a financial planner, and as what obviously you're doing in the real estate consulting role is, you know, there is no perfect investment that will guarantee you high returns. It just doesn't exist. You want guaranteed returns are going to be lower, but
correct.
There are opportunities. You just have to understand the risks. And there are risks if you're loaning your IRA money. There's risk if you're investing in real estate, but I think the biggest thing that people, you know, need to understand is they've got to weigh real estate investing just like they would do any other investing, right?
Absolutely. And here's the thing, talking with your clients, you can show them the risk and then you can decide how much of the risk that you're willing to take. Let's say a person wants to do their self-directed IRA and they want to be the bank. And the person, let's say it's an investor and it's a home that after repair value is going to be $100,000. And the investor's got 30 of his own money, and it needs $40,000 worth of repairs. Well, you might say, okay, you buy the house, and I'll give you the $40,000 for repairs, and I'm going to have a first lien at 10%. So you got a home that's worth, let's say, $90,000 to $100,000, and you've got $40,000 in it. You've got some of that risk taken care of, and yes, you might have to foreclose on it. But if you're look at your investor, you can do it. And you know, be relatively safe with.
Yeah, I think the key here is you can evaluate or tweak or modulate,
correct.
Dial in the amount of risk because there. And this is where I think people, just like with their finances and the planning and all the other stuff that I do, they need guidance regardless of what they're going to do with the real estate. I think doing real estate on your own, unless you're an expert like Paul, is awfully risky.
Right. And the other thing I tell everybody, and some people don't agree with this, but you've got $50,000 to your name, investing in real estate probably isn't the best thing for you to do because you can lose your money. And I always tell everybody, if you can afford to lose the $30,000, then it's not a big deal. But if that's the last $30,000 you've got, I want nothing to do with it.
I couldn't agree more, and I apply the same principle to people who invest in, you know, even things that most people would consider to be inherently less risky, like mutual funds, but you could still lose your money, and it can't be your emergency money or your go-to checking money.
That's right. It's got to be money that's just sitting there, like I said, in a IRA that you've had there for 15 years, and you got a couple hundred grand, you haven't touched it, you don't even open up the monthly statements anymore because you're sick of looking at it. That's the one that we can use, and you can become the bank. Or you can buy a piece of property, and let's fix it up. That's another thing people don't realize. You can buy property in your self-directed IRA. Your IRA actually buys it, then you can get it fixed up and you can sell it. And then when the house sells, all the profits go back into your IRA.
And you avoid all the taxes that way.
Yeah, you betcha. And if you do it on a Roth, because you've already paid the taxes on the Roth.
Tax-free.
That's tax-free till the day you move on down the road.
Yeah. Well, so, we're gonna take one more quick break before we move on down the road here, Paul. So Paul DaCosta is our guest, pauljdacosta.com. Stay right there. We got one more quick break, and we'll be right back.
Sometimes I know what I want to say, but just can't find the words.
Last week, I shouted at my grandson, and I'm not sure why.
I saw my daughter, but couldn't remember her name.
The sooner you recognize the warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, the sooner you can do something about it. To learn more, go to alz.org/10signs. That's alz.org/10signs. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
All right, we are back with Paul DaCosta, pauljdacosta.com. Good website, good information. And, you know, Paul, before we wrap the program up today, you know, I kind of made a leap, and I want you to weigh in on, you know, the view on the housing market. Are we kind of out of the woods, if you will, and it's on the rise and it is healing, or are there still some bumps in the road that people need to be on the lookout for with the overall market?
Well, I think overall market, we've still got some bumps on the road. The bottom line is you still got lots of houses that have not been foreclosed on or that are in some kind of a foreclosure action. Until those get taken care of and go away, then you're still going to see some issues. Now, it's very state-oriented and very zip code-oriented. Here where I live in Sarasota, Florida, we're seeing a very big boom right now, but there's not a lot of inventory, and we're seeing high-end houses, $400,000, $500,000, $600,000, and the builders in that same market, they're selling them as fast as they can get them, okay? Very zip code, very high-end. The middle homes, $120,000, $80,000 to $120,000, not quite so much. There's very little inventory. So until we get rid of the shadow inventory or the foreclosed inventory that hasn't had anything done with it yet, then we'll see a steady grind, steady straight right up the mountain.
Wow. Well, we're going to look forward to continue to see the improvement in the real estate market. Our guest today for the program, ladies and gentlemen, has been Paul DaCosta, pauljdacosta.com, and go there for some good reports and information. Paul, we appreciate you being on the program.
Thank you very much for having me, and call me anytime. I'm willing to answer any questions you or any one of your listeners might have.
Thank you very much, and we'll direct them to the website one more time, pauljdacosta.com. Thank you, Paul, and thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, and have a great day.
Thank you.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland, and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.